I'm going to introduce our guest speaker this morning for the second week of our missions emphasis. Pastor Ray Simon is going to preach to us today, speak to us, and his wife's name is Carol. And I think I told you a few weeks back that I know Pastor Ray as Uncle Ray and Aunt Carol because they were also international workers, missionaries in Ivory Coast, or as they call it, Côte d'Ivoire over there. And that's where I went to boarding school. So I got to know Pastor Ray while I was a teenager, junior high and high schooler. And I looked up to him tremendously. I also liked to play jokes on him, but he liked to play them right back. So I didn't dare do too much to him because he always got the last word. I knew them. I went to school with their kids in Ivory Coast at boarding school. And then weren't you guys missionaries in residence at Simpson too for at least a year? And so when I was going to Simpson University in college, it was like he was following me, like trying to make sure I didn't get into too much trouble. And now it's a small world. Pastor Ray is now the campus pastor at the Good News Rescue Mission, who we support on a regular basis. And so I'm just very pleased to have him come speak to us today.
Somebody paid me a real, real good compliment this morning. They said, "Did you go to college together?" Oh, that makes an old guy feel good. Yes, we've known Josh for a very long time. We'd pick him up at the airport or send him up at the airport to that country of Gabon. My wife and I left Côte d'Ivoire back in the year 2000 and moved to that country, France. So I'm glad to see those two flags close to our hearts here. I knew Josh's mother a long time ago. They would come to Ivory Coast and pick up their kids from time to time, and the time of the year that the kids would get out of school would be in July, and they'd be in the city we lived in Abidjan in July, and the U.S. Embassy would throw a party to celebrate the 4th of July. And inevitably, there would be a volleyball tournament, and the missionaries would form a team, and other organizations in the city would form teams, and we'd end up usually playing the final game against the Marines. And the only reason we could beat the Marines was because all day long they were drinking their beer and we weren't. I remember one year, though, we had so many missionaries, we had to form two teams, and Dr. Dave and I were on one team, and his wife, Becky, was on the other, and she was not very happy. She thought we had stacked the team. But even before I knew them as missionaries, my parents pastored a small church out in eastern Oregon called Bly. And her family came home from Vietnam for their year of home assignment, one of the years that my dad was in that small community. And one of the times my parents went out to go someplace, they needed a babysitter, and I can say proudly that Becky Thompson was my babysitter. So we have connections that go a long way back. Thank you for the reading of Scripture this morning. Wonderful to hear God's word. My wife and I have a neighbor down where we live. He's a little bit odd, and I use that term because his wife uses that term. He, at one point in life, was a member of a motorcycle gang. He did stuff that got him into trouble and consequently spent time in prison. After he got out, he met up with some guy that talked to him about Jesus, and he gave his heart to Christ. He moved to paradise, and in paradise, he and his wife lost everything that they had and moved away and moved to Reading and happened to live in the house right next door to ours. One day, he showed up out in the street just all happy because he had bought a motorcycle again. He finally had his bike back. But it was one of those bikes that has two wheels up front and one in the back, because he had lost his sense of balance, and that way he could ride his bike. And he gets on his bike, and he puts on his biker jacket or vest or whatever and his helmet, and he takes off. The guy loves Jesus, and he wants everybody to know it, so he turns up the volume on his music, and he's got a loud bike, but it's not as loud as his music. and everybody in the neighborhood hears him coming and going. He felt God putting it on his heart that he needed to go out and help the homeless of our community, those who don't have as much as he does. So he got one of those great big orange water containers, and he fills it with coffee. And on the cold days, he goes out with that thing and bunches of cups, and he goes to wherever he can find somebody along the street, and he offers them a cup of hot coffee. He stays up well past midnight at night making peanut butter and jam sandwiches to hand out as well as the coffee. And in the summertime, he goes along and hands out cold water and something to eat. Bubba knows where most of the homeless camps are in Redding and Shasta County. He knows many of that population by name. He's in a unique way seeking to serve God in the best way that he can. In our scripture reading this morning, we understand that God expects us, once we have accepted his invitation, to follow him, to imitate him in the way that he served humanity. In John 14:11, we read, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." That means that our responsibility toward our fellow man is to care about what God cares about. Did you grasp the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in his day and that God continues to speak to us today? What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me. Do you realize that God has practiced that from the beginning? God has been in service to humanity. When we read Genesis, we read that wonderful story of creation and how God created things and thought they were good. And he would create other things and thought they were good. And he created man and thought it was very good. And God would spend time walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And they enjoyed their times together, their times of fellowship together. But then one day, Adam and Eve listened to the voice of that serpent and did the one thing that they were told they couldn't do and ate that fruit. And then they hid themselves because their eyes were opened. They knew they had done something wrong. They made clothes for themselves out of fig leaves. And when God came to walk with them in the evening, they weren't there. And God called for them. Now, if I had been God, I probably would have smacked them really good and sent them on their way. I might have even just started all over again. But it's a good thing I'm not God. Because God is a God of compassion, a God of love, a God who cares for what he has made. What did God do? He clothed them. He made clothes for the people that he loved. As we read further into the Bible, we read the story of the children of Israel who left Egypt. And after they left Egypt, they were out in the desert, and all of a sudden they started to complain, "We don't have enough food. We want food." God gave them manna from heaven every day, enough to feed them for each day, and on the weekend for a couple of days. He provided the food that they needed. And then they got thirsty, and they complained because they didn't have anything to drink. And what did God do? through his servant Moses, he opened up the rock, and water came out, and they had water to drink. God takes care of the people that he loves. He's in service to the people that he loves. Remember the story of Elijah, and he went to stay with a widow, and she didn't have enough oil. And God told, through the prophet, told her to go get containers, jars for oil, and he filled those jars up. And for the whole time that the prophet stayed with her, her jars were full of oil. God takes care of his people. He's in service to us. Of course, the greatest service that we have is Jesus Christ, who came, who died for our sins. We were strangers, and yet he brought us in. And Jesus, when he was on earth, he fed the hungry people. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. This phrase highlights the importance of providing the basic needs of others. Jesus took care of the people around him. He took care of their basic needs. And it reflects the biblical principle of loving one's neighbor. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. The guy got mugged, lost everything he had. Nice guy, preacher comes along, walks the other side of the street. The bishop comes along, walks further on the other side of the street. And then just some ordinary guy that would be kind of an outcast in community comes along, picks the guy up, takes him to some place where he can be taken care of, his wounds cleaned, and he paid for the guy to stay in the hotel and to be fed. Taking care of the basic needs of humanity. And that's what Jesus is telling us that we, as his children, should be doing. We need to be merciful and to serve our world in the same way that God did, because that's part of God's nature. And if we are God's children, we should be reflecting his nature to the world around us. Showing mercy is more than kindness. It includes understanding and empathizing with others. It's offering forgiveness, even to those who don't seem to deserve it, just like Jesus did for us. A man by the name of Rob Reamer wrote a book called Soul Care, and in that book he said this: when the mercy of the Master does not move you to become a merciful person, there's something dreadfully wrong with your soul. There is a disconnect between your head and your heart. As I thought about that phrase, I thought, we can insert other words in there that reflect who we should be as believers. When the kindness of the Master does not move you to become a kinder person, when the compassion of the Master does not move you to become more compassionate, when the forgiveness of the Master does not move you to become more forgiving, when the gentleness of the Master does not move you to become gentler, when the generosity of the Master does not cause you to become more generous, there is something dreadfully wrong with your soul. There's a disconnect between your head and your heart. We as Christians often have an expectation about serving others, doing good works. We felt that it's vitally important for our missionaries to be involved in good works. Wow. We were trained to be missionaries. We went to school to prepare us, to tell us everything that we needed to do, to learn the language, to learn how to do all of these various kinds of things. But they didn't tell us how to be servants to take care of the daily needs of the people around us. We love to support good works. We love it when we hear the stories of people who have received the goodness of our missionaries. The organization with whom my wife and I served, we learned early on in our ministry overseas, the importance of social outreach is a path to helping people encounter the love and grace that God offers humanity through Jesus. We were we went to a village one day to church, to speak at church, and when we got there, the small group of people who had come out of Islam were gathered together, but one of the ladies in their congregation was deathly ill. And they said, we need to get her to the hospital. She was bleeding. So instead of having church or a long church service like we normally would, one of the ladies, we talked about it and decided that we would put her in our car and drive into the city to take her to the hospital. One of the ladies of the church carried her on her back as they went up the hill, over the railroad tracks, on up to where our car was parked, and made a comfortable place for her in the back of our station wagon so we could drive her into our city. Taking care of her daily needs was more important at that point than having a church service. It was an expression of the love of Jesus. We've seen the importance of nurses coming alongside those suffering illness. We've opened centers to assist those who were infected with leprosy. We've opened hospitals, birthing centers, and schools. Missionaries who followed in Livingstone's steps by addressing both spiritual and physical needs have had a profound impact on the continent of Africa. Hospitals established and often run by missionaries are frequently the only available source of health care, particularly in rural areas. And you have the privilege of having someone in your church who has done that. Countless children have been and continue to be educated in schools established by missionaries. It's been said that the mission education in Africa is largely responsible for the education of most of Africa's political leaders in the 1960s and 1970s that led to them gaining their independence from the colonial states. We have missionaries who have come not trained to do social work. I can think of one lady up in the country of Burkina Faso. She came from Holland. She wasn't a doctor, she wasn't a nurse, and she wasn't a dentist. But because she was a missionary, everybody around her thought she was all of the above. And there are times that she would have to stitch up a wound, having cleaned it first and then stitch it up. She talked to us about having to drill or dig into people's teeth to clean them out and to try and take care of them or to pull them, never having done dentistry work or knowing what she's doing. But because she was there to help the people of her community, and it was an inroad to presenting the gospel because she did the social work, the social care of the needs of the people that were around her. We've been in churches in America who send out ophthalmologists to go work in mission hospitals to help people, to operate on people's lives, to help them get their sight back, to improve their sight. How many of our missionaries have helped people with glasses? It's an amazing thing. There's an organization today that's called The Water Project. How many people have heard of The Water Project? A few of you have. What do? They go to places where people don't have fresh water. They dig wells so that they can have fresh water, good water, and their health needs can be taken care of. We know a group of people who started a ministry in the area that they were at where they dug a great big hole and filled it with water, and then they brought fish in, and they raise fish. And then they take these fish down to the market, and they sell fish, and to those people who can't afford the fish, they give the fish away, but they keep growing fish to help the people where they're at. We get really excited when we hear about our faith in action around the world, and even more so when we know that it brings people to Christ. Yet, in parts of the world, the church, Christians, aren't allowed to publicly practice good works. My wife and I were in France assigned to France for 22 years. And there's an organization in France called the Salvation Army, L'Armée de Salut. I mean, we know the Salvation Army. They're very well known for doing good works, for presenting the gospel, for bringing people to Christ through the work that they do. But in France, it's against the law for a church to be a church and do what we're doing here, and at the same time, offer good works to people. Because from history, the church has always done good works, but used their good works to bring people to faith. And they don't want the church to say to the people, you come to faith, we'll do something good for you. They just want them to say, we'll do something good for you. So the Salvation Army has to make a decision. Are we going to be a church, or are we going to do good works? Now, in our church, we decided that we would be a church, just like your church, singing the same songs that you sing, reading scripture like you do. But we then created an association that was a parallel association that didn't have anything to do with our church name, maybe had the same leaders, but was completely separate. And when we did our good works out of that association, we couldn't talk about Jesus, we couldn't talk about faith, we couldn't do any of those things because they had to be completely separate. And there are places around the world where that has to happen because they're afraid that the church will be too imposing on making people come to faith to receive the good works that they're offering. But they don't understand the heart of God. Because the heart of God says, come, and I'll give to you. And out of that, people will understand the goodness of faith and the goodness of God. John Piper says, Christians are defined by works or life which flow from faith in Jesus and point to the glory of Jesus. Christians are defined by works or life which flow from faith in Jesus and point to the glory of Jesus. Do our works in life point to the glory of Jesus? Are we doing things just because we love Him? We're called upon to do those kinds of things. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the light of the world. We were dead, we're now alive. Created in Christ Jesus, for good works, the same kinds of works that Jesus did, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A life of words and deeds help people believe in Jesus. What about faith and action in our own community? How do we do that? What does that look like? I have acquaintances that when they hear about my work at the Good News Rescue Mission, they say, oh, God bless you. It takes a lot to work with people like that. People like that? Them? You know, those guys that stand alongside the street, sleep in the doorway, camp out over in the bus stop, pitch a tent in open spaces, hide under the bridge. You know who they are. You've seen them. They're addicts. They're homeless. They're lazy. The ones who cost us money to support them. Them. People like that. I'm supposing that none of us would say that, even in our inner voice. People like that. I have a new friend at the mission. He's been there for quite some time. And he's just one of those people that are hard to be around because he doesn't have a lot of personal hygiene, even though he has the occasion. His teeth are kind of rotten, and so when he talks to you, it's not very pleasant. His hair is straggly. He doesn't shave very often, but he's there. And one day I decided, on Sunday, I'm going to show up with my iPad And I'm going to hook it up to the video projector that we have so that on Sunday afternoon, everybody that's here at the mission has the opportunity to watch football. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I love to watch football on a Sunday afternoon. And all of a sudden, we had like 50, 60 people coming in to sit down and watch football and cheer for their favorite team or cheer against my favorite team. I wasn't there because I would rather watch my favorite team by myself or with somebody who likes my favorite team. Now, this guy, he had his favorite team. I think his favorite team is, can I say Oakland Raiders? And he would talk to me about the Oakland Raiders and how much he liked them. And I put down $5 on the Raiders today. And that was our conversation. 3 weeks ago, he came up to me and he said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I'm going in for an operation. I have cancer on my eyeball, and they're going to operate on me. And I'm afraid I'll lose my sight. And I don't want to lose my sight. We developed a relationship over football. And he came to me for prayer because of the relationship that was developed over something as little as football. He had his operation. We're waiting to see what the results are. But the guy is open to it, to hearing about Jesus. How can we exercise our desire to serve our community in the way that Jesus instructs us to? What can you do to help your community, to help Redding, to help Shasta County? First of all, I'd like to thank you for being involved at Good News Rescue Mission. Guys who come and teach, pastor who comes and gives Bible study, the way that you accept men from our program into your church, they tell me about it and they love your church. Thank you for doing that. But there are more ways that we can help out. And I know that you're involved in Shasta Thrive and other organizations in our community. Did you know that the homeless people want to learn things? Maybe not everybody, but there are some people who want to learn. And if you would like to help somebody learn some kind of a skill, learn to do something, teach somebody how to do mathematics, teach somebody how to read better, teach somebody skills in life, there's a place for you at Good News Rescue Mission. There's one company that is a roofing company in our community, and they've decided that they would like to teach guys how to put roofs on houses. And they're offering courses on how to do that. If you have a skill, you can teach people your skill. You can volunteer with organizations in our community, with Shasta Thrive, with Goodwill, with the mission. There are places open for you to serve. Let me give you an example of something that we need right now. We need people who can drive vans and drive all over our city, go to the different grocery stores, and go to the back door and say, Hi, I'm from Good News Rescue Mission. Do you have anything for us today? And they always do. They have groceries that they want to give away. And you load up the van and you bring it back to the mission and unload it at the mission. We weigh all the stuff and give the stores credit for what they've given to us. And then throughout the week, food is prepared to serve people at the mission. If you come to the mission in the first half of the month, you'll see probably about 100 to 150 people who come for a meal. If you come at the last half of the month, you'll see between 150 and 250 people because their checks, their state checks, run out and they need some place to come and eat. But the food that's donated to the mission is used to feed the homeless people that come. And we need people who are willing to get in the van and drive off, pick that stuff up, and bring it back to the mission. And every Friday morning at the mission, we have food giveaway. People can come in and take 3 bags of groceries home. I've walked into the room when they're handing out the groceries, and I walk over and I look at the table and I see pieces of frozen salmon from Costco. And I'm like, I'd love to take that home. Not mine. We have turkeys that are donated, hams that are donated, beef that's donated, milk and eggs and flour and cookies and bread and all kinds of things. And if you have the skill of being able to drive and load a van, sign up at the Good News Rescue Mission and help feed our community. I looked in my closet this morning and I saw this really nice white shirt that has very thin red stripes diagonally. I don't wear it anymore because the Ray that bought that shirt is not the Ray that you see today. This one's a little bit bigger than that one. So it sits in my closet, and it sits in my closet because I bought that shirt specifically for my son's wedding. I don't want to give it up. I've got this other shirt. It's kind of a green with silvery white stripes on it. And it's really pretty. And I've got a black shirt that's got some black stripes on it, and it's got cuffs on it. I might have 7 or 8 shirts in my closet that I like to look at and think I should wear that and then decide I can't. And they just sit there. I'll bet if you went home today and looked in your closet or your drawers, you'd find clothes in there that you have not worn over the past year. Why are they still there? Oops, I shouldn't say that. Because I'm talking to myself. There are people in our community who need clothes. And we can drop clothes off at specific places where those clothes will be given as a gift to those who come and in need. I talk about the mission because I know what I see there. There are other places that do the same thing. One group dropped off, I don't know how many pair of Carhartt pants and boots. Wintertime, coats. How many of us have coats? How many coats do you have in your closet? How many of them do you wear? There's just all kinds of ways that we can help out. You clothe them. Remember, God clothed Adam and Eve. They did not deserve it. And how many times have I heard people say to me, but if I give them my clothes, they'll just end up out on the street. If I give them a blanket, it'll just become garbage. And yet God clothed people. God gave to people. And if we're believers who have the heart of Jesus, it's our responsibility to make sure that they get the food that they need, that they get the drink that they need, that they get the food that they need, that those strangers that speak Spanish feel welcomed in our community because God has done the same for them. Today, I'd like to help you along the way in giving back to our community. It's going to be getting hot. The weather forecast for this next week says 99, 105, and 105. And there are a lot of people out on our streets who do not have access to fresh water. Oh, sure, they can go down to the river and drink, right? None of us would do that. So I brought some water, and I would like to encourage you to take a bottle of water with you when you leave church today, not for yourself. Take it, have it in your car, and when you're driving down the street and you see somebody who's in need of water, somebody pushing a grocery cart, somebody that has a bicycle piled high with all kinds of stuff, stop. Take your bottle of water and give it to them. Because that's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus would do. We seek to serve. How are you serving your community? Father in heaven, I pray that you would put it on our hearts to be people who seek to serve you, to seek those in our community who need you, just because you love them, you love us, and we want to love them as you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.